Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to Fort McMurray Matters,
keeping you connected to our community.
Brought to you by Colin Hartigan of Coldwell Banker Fort McMurray, Cooper & Company Law Firm, and Fort McMurray Orthodontics on Mix 103.7.
Welcome to a very special edition of Fort McMurray Matters. Today, I will be speaking with two wonderful individuals about truth and reconciliation. We are talking about this today and not tomorrow because our regular hosts, including myself, will not be speaking. Tomorrow, we're giving a voice to others. So I'm going to welcome my first guest here, Melina Power, president of the Lakeland Métis Community Association. And Melina, maybe just to kind of start us off here, maybe you could tell us a little bit about yourself and how long you've been in the community for.
Sure. I've been a part of the Lakeland Métis for the past decade or so. Originally, our group was founded in 2010. Since then, we underwent a name change in 2018 and some political restructuring. Personally, I've been in the region my whole life, but more recently in the northern areas of the Lakeland County for the past 5 to 6 years.
How long has your family or even yourself just been in the community, the region, or even the province?
Our entire lives, really. Both parts of my family are from Alberta. My dad is a member of the 468 First Nations out here, and my mother is Métis from the Lac-La-Biche area.
So this day, truth and reconciliation, I would imagine it would mean so many different things to different people, but to yourself, to your family, what does it mean to you?
It means a lot of different things. The political side of me has a different sense of what the personal side is. Politically, it means that we still have a lot of work to do. Métis still aren't quite recognized here in Alberta, or even federally for that matter. And I'm only talking in terms of Lakeland Métis. I know other groups are undergoing different processes. But for us, it's still a lot of work in gaining that recognition through the provincial government and also federally through the truth and reconciliation process. Provincially, we've entered a process called credible assertion, where if we're successful, we can get put onto a consultation list where we can have some of our cultural rights mitigated through industry impacts. Federally, unfortunately, that process still isn't quite available to us yet, but through there, we'd be able to discuss the truth and reconciliation framework and what that would mean to our citizens.
So I don't know what it would even look like or how it looks, but what does the end look like? What does it look like when, okay, we are where we want to be?
I think that would mean provincial and federal recognition. Because right now, it just seems like we're trying to help our survivors, you know, from an empty toolbox. We don't have the capacity and supports and programming in place that we need to help survivors of residential schools or their children or grandchildren that are affected through the generational trauma. So for us, I think it would mean having that proper capacity in place and the mental health support and whatever other supports are required to help our citizens get through this troubling thing that's happened.
Like you mentioned, this troubling thing that has happened, and unfortunately for a lot of people, this might be something they've only just even, maybe they've just learned, but for the Indigenous community, this is something that's been around forever. Is this something that you can ever fully recover from?
I don't know. You know, my dad is a residential school survivor, and I didn't find out that he attended that school until I was well into my 20s. Because it was something he never wanted to discuss or share with us. It was something he tried to deal with on his own for several years. So for me, you know, I really didn't even know much about it myself. And being Indigenous, you know, you'd think that you would, but I didn't. So it's been a really big learning process for myself. But, you know, in the same time, it's encouraged a lot of growth and spirituality and coming full circle, you know, with healing and, you know, trying to help my father on his healing journey and to help myself as well. It really put things into perspective and helped me understand why certain things were the way they were throughout my childhood and young adulthood.
I would imagine this is probably a tough one to talk about, but how, like, we can just skip it if you'd like, but how was that conversation with your family after learning about this?
It was really difficult, and it's also come out in a study that we're doing right now on the Lakhlabish Mission. That's the school he attended. So he was originally in the Fort McMurray area, and during the 60s scoop, he got sent by train to the boarding school that was down there, and he resided there with some of his siblings. So throughout his story, he explained to us how during the 60s scoop, he was sent to the Lakhlabish Mission, how he had to reside there. They did have a couple of escape attempts. The first one wasn't successful because he got sent back. But the second time, they made sure that they ran, you know, far away. They got onto a train and actually ended up in the Yukon Territories. And they didn't return until they were old enough to not be sent back to that school.
What kind of feelings do you feel after, like, because I know some people, this never happened to them personally or someone in their family, so they can kind of distance themselves from this information, but you really can't. Like, this is something very, very close to you.
It definitely is, you know, not just through my political affiliations through Lakeland Métis, but it's also my family. You know, it's my dad, it's myself, it's my children. So yeah, you know, it really affects us on a lot of different levels. And it's a little exhausting at times, but, you know, through healing and support, you know, we're able to help each other work through this.
And how do you find the best way to educate people about this? How do you find the best way to talk about this? Is it something to just be blunt with? Is it something that should be, you know, a little more delicate with? Yeah, how do you communicate this with people?
I'm not sure. It really kind of depends on the context of the conversation. You know, if it's just a person having a coffee with, you can get a little bit more personable. In the broader scope of things, I just feel that there's a really large lack of recognition and understanding. You know, especially in terms of the Métis, I feel we're kind of forgotten about. We're not quite recognized. Therefore, we don't really have the support to help our citizens deal with the trauma that they've endured.
And to kind of go way back, childhood years for yourself, like what was it like for you? Was it just regular run in the mill? You were just a crazy kid, bouncing on the trampoline, having fun, playing tag, like kids being kids? Or what was it like for you?
From a young age, I think I realized that our family was different than most. We grew up mainly in urban areas where there were a lot of different, you know, folks around. And there were other Aboriginal people as well, but we weren't really aware of what happened. We weren't taught this in school. It wasn't discussed. You know, we didn't really know much about it. But I knew that something was troubling because, you know, you have a parent that, you know, suffers through depression and PTSD. We didn't even know the words to call, you know, some of the things that would occur in our house, you know, until we were older. And looking back now, we're like, oh, okay, that's what that was. So for us, it was a lot of coming full circle and understanding why things were the way they were growing up.
So your views now for, like, everything that you grew up with, the you know, information kind of that was hidden from you back then. So now with your own family, how do you feel like you want to do things yourself now as a parent?
Well, you know, I moved quite a ways away, you know, just to be able to come to terms with everything and to raise my children the way I felt best. You know, I really felt that they needed a fresh start, you know, a way to build some structures in place. And with the curriculum changing in school, that's also helped as well, because my children had the opportunity to learn about residential schools and colonization and everything that's happened to the Aboriginal people here in Canada. So they kind of have that basis of understanding to begin with also me explaining to them, you know, on a family level, some of the things that have occurred, which has turned them into really compassionate and understanding kids. You know, they get it. They understand it. But, you know, fortunately, you know, I've made the moves to protect them from that, where they aren't going through that generational trauma or affected by this, as, you know, other people may still be.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, the more people know about, they know about each other, and the more people learn. And I think young people now knowing about this, we shouldn't see a repeat. I'm hoping we'll never see a repeat of any of this again. Melina, we do just have to take our first break here in Fort McMurray Matters, but when we return, there is still lots that we have to talk about. We'll be right back.
We'll return in a moment to Fort McMurray Matters. Brought to you by Colin Hartigan of Coldwell Banker Fort McMurray, Cooper & Company Law Firm, and Fort McMurray Orthodontics on Mix 103.7.
And we're back with Fort McMurray Matters, a very special edition today. And I'm speaking with my guest right now, Melina Power, president of the Lakeland Métis Community Association. And we're talking about a very special day tomorrow. That's Truth and Reconciliation. Some people might know it as Orange Shirt Day. Melina, I did want to ask you, because we've been talking about the importance of that day and the importance of all the news and all the information that's going out right now. I did want to ask, what is the importance of, well, anyone really, of staying connected to your culture, staying connected with family, staying connected with the community? How important is that?
It's extremely important. You know, the Métis have a distinct culture. So, you know, for them to be able to share in some of those traditional values and practices, you know, it really reminds them of who they are. They really enjoy going out on the land, you know, doing all the hunting, fishing and gathering and learning different ways to use medicinal plants and preserve foods. So for them, there's a really strong cultural connection at the same time and a lot of healing there as well.
Is there a strong connection between those three things, like a strong connection between culture, family, and community?
I believe they're intertwined. For us, there's really no separation. They're all intertwined for us.
And yourself, is this something new for you? Were you always, growing up, keeping a very strong cultural connection, or is this something new for you, that really wanting to get connected with it?
No, there was always a strong cultural connection growing up. Despite living in other urban centers, you know, my parents still practiced hunting, fishing, and gathering. So we still spent quite a bit of time on the land. Not so much in grocery stores, because we gather a lot of our own harvesting and food. Plus, there was always gardens and things like that. So, you know, we were taught, you know, how to gather a lot of our stuff on our own.
And honestly, you seem to really be doing very well. And yeah, you seem to be really pushing forward with this. And what would you say to someone that maybe is struggling, maybe want to get connected more to their culture, or to anyone that just wants to be able to talk about this stuff? Would you recommend just talking with someone as step one?
Oh, definitely. I think starting a conversation would be the first step. You know, we can't really deal with, you know, things like this on your own. I think it takes a village, you know, for people to heal. And there's a lot of support out there.
And I know some people, like you might have an issue about calling certain centers or facilities and things like that. I don't know, do you find it easier to talk to people about this now? Has the conversations been getting easier?
I feel there's a lot more understanding now. And I think through things like Truth and Reconciliation Day and more cultural awareness, a lot of the professional support that's out there, you know, seems to have a better grasp on what Aboriginal people are dealing with. So in that regard, I think it's improving.
That is really good to hear. And just to kind of end us off here, Melina, if there was something you would like to say to anybody about Truth and Reconciliation Day and just what it means and what it could and should mean, the floor is all yours.
I would say, you know, participate in local activities, get to know your neighbors, you know, talk about it, have a conversation. Just reach out locally or even in school or work or whatever.
Well, thank you so much for joining me today. To end us off here, I'll let you, if there is anything you want to say about anything you would like to say, the floor is all yours.
I would just like to thank everybody for tuning in and listening today. Not everybody's journey is the same. They're all different, but we're here supporting one another, and I feel with a little bit more cultural awareness and support, we can get through this together.
Thank you so much for joining me today, Melina. I really appreciate it. Thank you so much. And we're just going to head over to my second guest, Feather Burke Jenner, director on the board with Willow Lake Métis Nation. And to start us off, Feather, maybe you could let us know maybe a little bit about yourself as well and how long you've been in the community for.
Yeah, my name is Feather Burke Jenner. I live in Anzac, and I have been an elected member, a director on the board with the Willow Lake Métis Nation, going on eight years now. I was elected when I was 16 years old, and they've kept me around this long, so I'm grateful for that.
And well, that's good. And yes, you've been there since so young as well. So they're liking what you're doing. You're doing something right. That's really good.
Yeah. No, it's been such a phenomenal opportunity. I've learned so much and grown, and you know, being able to connect with my community and help, you know, with reclaiming our identity and culture in this region has been phenomenal.
So I'm assuming that getting in so young, Father, that you're not the first of your family to go there. How long has your family been in the community for?
Well, my family personally moved here in the 70s, I believe, and but we've been in this region well before, let's say, like the 1900s.
Oh, so not only like just Alberta, but your family has been in this region for that long?
Yeah, I would say, 1900s is where we can tie it down. Most of our lineage comes from Lac-La-Biche area. But my grandfather worked for the railroad, so he ended up moving down the tracks and working for the railroad, and that's kind of how my family started to connect with Anzac, kind of down the tracks.
Oh, okay.
And that's when they moved in the 70s.
So is that kind of like one of the reasons why you've gone into the position you have, because there's that strong family connection, or is this something?
Oh, yes. Absolutely. I was always, born into the lifestyle growing up on the trap line. My family has been very proud Métis people. My grandfather has always been involved in Métis politics, and then my father, and then I as well was elected as at a young age with him. So he's passed on now, but I spent a lot of years working with my father as well, and then working for the Willow Lake Métis, and been really, like I said, a great experience.
So is that something then that just seeing that growing up and seeing everything that your family kind of did to help the community, was that something that you saw as a kid and you're like, you know what, yes, I want to help out too as soon as I can?
Oh yeah, I mean, like from a young age, I was already volunteering for, you know, Métis Fest and other community events that we had here, and then like I said, you know, growing up a proud Métis and, you know, helping to live off the land and learning from my family, you know, created a lot of pride and identity in who I was, and, you know, just understanding. And, you know, I was one of the lucky ones in regards to, you know, growing up with that lifestyle around me. And, you know, I know how important it is to keep that culture and tradition going. And so from a young age, it was definitely a huge passion of mine and a huge passion for my family.
Well, and you know, and speaking of keeping that culture and everything alive and true, we have a very big day here, Truth and Reconciliation, and mm-hmm. and I know it really does mean different things to different people, Indigenous and non, but what does it mean to you?
To me, Truth and Reconciliation is about giving Indigenous people a voice to share their unique truth and what it means to be Indigenous. The tragedy caused by the residential school system forced many of us Métis people to hide and deny our heritage. And today, through opportunities such as this, Métis peoples have had the chance to share their stories, to celebrate their identity, and to take pride in their Indigenous mother lineage. As Métis people, our history is very much our own and decidedly different from other Indigenous peoples. Not all Métis share the same stories, and our experiences vary greatly depending on our origin. That said, the truth and reconciliation has no boundaries, and it impacts all of us in a powerful way, and amplifying Indigenous voices is an important step forward for us towards healing.
You had mentioned something at the start there about this learning and this remembering. Is this something when you were growing up, were you aware of what kind of happened? Like, was this open in your family or in your school or your learning, or was this something you always knew about or recently learned?
It was spoken about a lot during my childhood. I have three grandparents that are residential school survivors. I was very close with my grandmother. She grew up in Fort Chipewyan, and she, you know, shared a lot of her stories as a child with me. And, you know, I was fortunate enough to hear stories of elders and growing up going to ceremonies and such things in the community, knowing that knowledge and hearing their stories and sharing that experience and has given me a lot of insight and understanding the impacts of intergenerational trauma and, you know, learning about healing and forgiveness has been a huge impact for me as well.
So hearing those stories as a kid, so you were well aware of this, like you had heard firsthand knowledge of everything that happened.
But then
you have, well, I'll even say it, individuals like me who I heard nothing. Like it was only until recently. So growing up with that, did you ever have issues of talking to other people and them maybe not knowing what you're talking about or not believing what you're talking about?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, growing up in you know, the public school system, I mean, there was a lot of ignorance in regards to not actually really knowing these full stories, and a lot of our education that was taught to us, it was very sugar-coated. It was a very short lesson that was, you know, given to us, and I had a lot of arguments with teachers and kind of helping create more awareness to what happened to our people, and, you know, the fact that this didn't happen a long time ago. This, you know, we're going two generations back where this happened, and I think, you know, where our education system has failed us is, you know, this idea that this is something that happened a long time ago, and, it's so far from the truth. I mean, you know, me being second generation residential school survivor in the sense of that trauma that has been passed down as well to me, these cause and effect is very real. And, you know, I myself, you know, struggle with things such as mental health issues or substance issues and those kind of things. And it just shows the after effects of what the residential school system has done to us. And
thank you so much. I really appreciate you sharing this with us. I know how difficult it can be to talk about such personal matters, and I really appreciate it, and I hope this is helping people listen as well to hear your story. Maybe that helps them connect with their own as well. And we do just have to take our last break here in Fort McMurray Matters. And when we return, we're going to hear more from Feather about truth and reconciliation and what any and all of us can do to honor that day. We'll be right back after this.
We'll return in a moment to Fort McMurray Matters. Brought to you by Colin Hartigan of Coldwell Banker Fort McMurray, Cooper & Company Law Firm, and Fort McMurray Orthodontics on Mix 103.7.
And we're back with Fort McMurray Matters, a very special edition. We're talking about truth and reconciliation, what that means to people. Right now, we're talking with Feather Burke Jenner, Director of the Board with Willow Lake Métis Nation, who was just telling us about how when she was younger, she did know. She knew all about, from her grandmother, about what residential schools had done and about how people growing up didn't listen to her, didn't believe her, or downplayed it, or sugarcoated it. And I got to say, Feather, like, I know even when I'm trying to tell someone a story and they refuse to believe me, how frustrating that gets on just a simple level. But with something like this, to have people not believe you and to have knowledge of this happening, how did you keep from just not being angry all the time?
At times, I definitely got emotional, in certain arguments with even students or fellow peers that, you know, obviously didn't hear those stories or were not really connected and, you know, were not Indigenous. Like I said, having such a close relationship with my grandmother, she really taught me forgiveness. And, you know, I learned to forgive people because ultimately we are a product of our environment. And, you know, I think we all have a responsibility to educate ourselves, but to say that I'm angry at you for not understanding my story and my perspective isn't very fair, so to speak. So I think just being kind and understanding each other from where we come from and learning to respect other people's perspectives without taking it so personal is something that's really important and how it creates less anger towards each other, I guess.
And how has it been for yourself, for your family, now that after years in your childhood of people either sugarcoating or not believing, and it's now coming out and people's beliefs? So far, it does seem that most people are to say, like, oh, this is terrible atrocities. Why didn't we listen? So how are you taking that now in your family?
It's always mixed emotions. You know, it's a roller coaster. It's, you know, you have the moment of like, finally people are hearing our stories. Finally, people are starting to see and understand and know what's actually happened to us. And, you know, this secret that Canada at large has kept from the rest of the world, you know. And then also, I mean, it re-triggers and it brings up a lot of that trauma that has been caused because of residential school systems, right? So, you know, you kind of go through constant, you know, moments of relief and validation, and then sometimes you go through anger and frustration, and just a matter of taking everything day by day and, you know, rolling with the punches. But you know, again, like I said, I know my family are very happy that these truths are coming out. People are listening now. People are ready and willing to listen, and it's a really beautiful thing, because, you know, for so many years this wasn't something that was talked about.
And you had mentioned that you were certainly one of the lucky ones, that you had a very strong connection with your family growing up. You had a strong connection mm-hmm. with your culture growing up. Did you find mm-hmm. that just really, that connection with family, with culture, with community, like that really helped?
Oh, 100%. It kind of gave me the confidence that I have today. You know, I really do, you know, I mean... I feel like, you know, a lot of us Indigenous youth have a huge disconnection from our culture and identity because of the effects of residential school system. And, you know, there's a loss of confidence in who we are as people. And, you know, like I said, because I have been raised with such strong influences around me, it has given me the confidence to tell our stories and to be a representative of the youth. There's a lot of shame that it gets carried with not knowing, you know, your culture, and, you know, not having knowledge of your language or harvesting and those kind of things. And so a big piece of our initiative working with the Willow Lake Métis Nation is helping reclaim that knowledge and teaching our youth at a very young age how to live off the land and how to harvest and how to take pride in what it is to be Indigenous. And you really see the confidence that at a young age even these children have, because they're reclaiming that knowledge as well, right?
Like, for some people who maybe never had the same upbringing of mm-hmm. Of being so connected to their culture and having that strong connection there, is it too late to get reconnected with their culture? Like, is there still a chance?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, at any age, I mean, even we're seeing elders now that are reclaiming their culture. I mean, my grandmother spent many years of her life denying her Indigenous identity, and, you know, later in life and through, you know, the Truth and Reconciliation Initiative, she did a lot of healing and did a lot of ceremony, and then she started to speak her native tongue more and dance more traditionally and those kind of things. So, you know, at any age you can start, and as youth, you know, we need to be kinder to ourselves, our elders, and, you know, we need to be kinder to each other and patient with each other, because, you know, this is all a learning process, and we just need to take everything day by day and do what we can. And I mean, at the end of the day, it's intent. And if we intend to want to learn, and you're going to be able to find yourself in that as well. And then don't be afraid to ask for help and ask for knowledge, because, you know, I mean, a lot of us don't, you know, are not lucky enough to have elders to talk to, or grandparents or parents that are connected. So, you know, reaching out to your local communities as well, and community associations, and, you know, First Nations band, and, you know, those kind of things, you know, can help reclaim and regain that knowledge that you lost.
And you had mentioned as well, like, with your grandmother there, of reconnecting with her language, and of mm-hmm. of people, like you had mentioned, seem to be listening now, which is great. And now, I'm not sure if you're aware, I actually just spoke to some folks from the municipality of Fort McMurray here in Wood Buffalo a little while ago, and they were talking that they are looking at adding Cree and Dene to the signage throughout Fort McMurray. Mm-hmm. Like, how do you feel about these things? The culture is not only just being recognized, but it is being incorporated as well.
Oh, I think it's such a beautiful thing, you know, just to see our language become more normalized, and to expose not only our own people to it on a more frequent basis, but to, you know, show and teach other people. I know a lot of people are very excited to learn about our culture and our language and our identity. And so, you know, incorporating that, like I said, and normalizing it in this community is a very exciting thing, I think. And it shows that, you know, visibility. And like I said, it gives our Indigenous people that validation of this being our community and being welcomed by the region at large.
Yeah, no, I thought that was actually extremely cool to see. And I did want to just ask you here, to kind of end us off here, and that was for anybody looking of how they can do the right thing or what they can do to honor the Indigenous people for Truth and Reconciliation Day, like, what are some recommendations that you have?
Like I said, you know, I think we all have a responsibility to educate ourselves. And whether that be through literature or podcasts or even reaching out to, you know, our local associations and such that help promote and teach that knowledge. I mean, there's lots that goes on in our communities. And I know we welcome everybody. And I know a lot of the other nations in this region welcome anybody to come and learn from us and participate in a lot of the events and such that we have around here. I think it's important.
Just before we end off, I would love to know, like, if there's anything that you think you want to add, maybe we didn't chat about here, there's something that you just want to get off your chest. I'm going to leave the floor all yours, whatever you would like to put out there.
I mean, I feel like we covered pretty well everything. I'm just thankful for this opportunity to kind of, you know, speak and tell our own story. I mean, like I said, growing up in Anzac, I take a lot of pride in where I grew up in this community. And, you know, it's nice to see a platform where we're able to kind of tell our stories on this end over here. And yeah.
Well, thank you so much, Feather, for joining me and just talking to us today. I know this is such a difficult topic, but I appreciate it. And I really do hope other people listening appreciate it as well, because this is not easy to talk about, I imagine. And a big thanks as well to my guest earlier today, Melina Power. I appreciate both of you coming on here and just telling your stories. I appreciate it so much. Unfortunately, this is all the time we have for today on Fort McMurray Matters. But if you missed it and you want to hear more, you can head to our website, mix1037fm.com, where you can check out a podcast of all kinds there. Thank you so much. I'm Adam Ofis. I'll talk to you again later.
That's the end of another edition of Fort McMurray Matters.
Want a copy of this episode or any past episode? Download the podcast at mix1037fm.com.
Brought to you by Colin Hartigan of Coldwell Banker Fort McMurray, Cooper & Company Law Firm, and Fort McMurray Orthodontics on Mix 103.7.